Well, good morning, Christ the Rock. It's good to be with you this morning. It is so awesome that we are getting to that part of the year where the weather's starting to change, and that means summer is just around the corner. Amen? Yeah, we're excited for that. And with summer comes kind of a rite of passage for many kids growing up, and for me, it's church camp. And that's something that I loved as a kid. And I have a great church camp story that I want to share with you guys this morning. It was the summer of 1989, and I attended Michigan Christian Youth Camp. I grew up in the Michigan area. And we had a camp counselor. His name was Jay. And there's just those people in your life that are kind of milestone people in your life. And Jay was one of those guys for me. Jay was larger than life. I mean, he was just this amazing guy that exuded joy and the love of Jesus. And Jay was a little eccentric. He was kind of a child of the 70s, very much a hippie. And it really kind of took some of us kids in the 80s by storm there. You can see a picture of Jay up here on the screen. Jay is the guy in the back row in the blue shirt with the awesome shades and the amazing stash. So you see that. And if you could pick me out here, I'm the prepubescent kid who's really struggling there in the Chicago shirt, the pink Chicago shirt, next to the guy in the Batman shirt, my buddy Kevin. So sorry for that picture, but I had to show it. And I have no idea why I'm carrying a clipboard. It's like I just was. It's, you know, kind of the kid I was. But Jay had this kind of 70s vibe to him. And Jay, this is a true story. Jay often lived in his van. By choice. Like he chose to live in his van. And these are one of those vans, if you remember back in the day there, that had the curtains on them. Remember those? Yeah. And so Jay would live often out of his van. And Jay would open up his van for kids that wanted to take a deeper dive into studying the Bible. Now, I know that sounds really shady in 2022. A bunch of fourth and fifth graders gathered in this guy's curtain van studying the Bible, but I'm telling you, it was 100% legit, 100% legit. And so many guys, our lives were transformed, and it was just a moment where we grew closer to Jesus because of Jay and his craziness. Jay used to have this thing that he would have us do in camp, and he would have us in the highest pitched voice we can, kind of Mickey Mouse-ish. We would all skip, literally skip. I'm not going to do that for you guys this morning. But he would skip around the camp saying, "Look at me, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm somebody." And then he would make us do it. It could be kind of a camp thing. We would do it higher and higher and faster and faster. And it kind of became just this thing that we did around the camp. And I have to believe Jay, as crazy as he was doing that because he wanted us to understand how loved we were, that God sees our worth, and that he looks down upon us and says, "You're beautiful, you're somebody." Now, I had grown up in a Christian home, and my parents were believers. I had spent time reading the Bible. I knew Jesus. I loved Jesus. But in that summer, studying the Bible in Jay's van, I made the commitment to follow Jesus with my whole life. And I said, "I want to be baptized." And I called my parents, and they came out to the camp. And if you ever had experience a camp baptism, everybody comes down. And this was on Lake Pleasant, a beautiful place in Michigan. So all the camp, hundreds of people came down to the waterfront, and my parents were there. And in that evening in June, Jay baptized me in Lake Pleasant. It was great. And there was congratulations and hugs and just amazing things were happening. And as we were walking back, everyone else kind of walked back up the shore to go back to the lodge, probably for snack time or something. And Jay said, "Hey, come with me for a second." And he put his arm around me and he said, "Stephen, I think I did it wrong." And I was like, what? What are you talking about? What I didn't know at the time was Jay was really nervous. I was among one of the first people that he had baptized, and there was all these people there, and he was nervous, and he said, "Stephen, when I dunked you down in the water, I didn't get your entire body under the water." He says, "Now, I know that God's not upset and that, you know, this is legit, but," he goes, "I would just feel better if we went and did it again." So like at 12, 13 years old, I'm like, okay, if you think that's what's best. So, on our own, the two of us walked back down to the shore, and just the two of us now. He said, "Stephen, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he rose?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he baptized me, getting me all under this time. He made sure. And so I experienced two amazing moments within just 20 minutes of each other. And it was just an amazing story that I carry with me even today. And in just a few minutes, we're going to share with so many an amazing story as they celebrate in baptism. It's a joyous event. Now, if you're new here today, you might be thinking, wait a minute, what's going on? There's this tank of water. So you're telling me people are going to come here and they're going to allow other people to dunk them underwater. That just seems a little different for us. It's an unordinary experience that you don't see everywhere. Baptisms are one of those practices that are unordinary. And I can't stand before you today and fully explain why God set it up this way. But he did. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus. And if you remember, the definition we've been using is a disciple is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and committed to the mission of Jesus. And part of being on the journey of being a disciple of Jesus is baptism. But what is baptism? Why do we baptize? And you might be asking this morning, do I have to get baptized? So let's look at this morning. What is baptism? Baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. Baptizo. Now, most of our words in our English Bibles are translations. But baptism isn't a translation of a Greek word. It's a transliteration. And when something is translated, the word is taken from one language and it's put in the corresponding word in the new language. But with the word baptism, when the translators went to translate this into our English language, there was not a direct English word for baptism. So it was transliterated into English as baptism. Basically, a new word was created from baptizo to baptism. Now, there were several reasons for this, and we don't need to go into all those this morning, but the Greek word baptizo, it really means to immerse or submerge. Or maybe a better word for us in 2022 is to dunk. So John the Baptist, John the Baptizer might be John the Dunker. And this helps explain why we don't practice sprinkling. Some of you may have been part of a church tradition that practiced sprinkling. And the practice of sprinkling didn't begin until hundreds of years after Jesus. And it was mainly done as a means of convenience. But here's what I want us to remember. That there's nothing convenient about baptism. While it's not difficult to do, especially in the first century, being baptized, dunked, being immersed required an enormous amount of effort. You have to travel down to the river, and it wasn't exactly this clean, disinfected, safe place that we have here this morning. Even for us here in the Fox City, surrounded by bodies of water, it takes some effort if we want to be baptized. Often it's cold a lot of times, or it's unsafe. Sometimes it's dirty. We have this amazing pond that we've been baptizing people in for years, and just recently it's become what some people call a geese toilet. And so it's not safe anymore to baptize people there. And even if we do it indoors, like we're going to do this morning, you can ask our maintenance crew and the amazing volunteers that set all this up. It takes some effort. And that's part of the point. Baptism isn't something that we should just do on a whim. It should be something that requires some thought. Because following Jesus isn't always convenient. Now, for some people, baptism is actually dangerous. There are many parts of the world where publicly declaring your faith and being buried in the waters of baptism puts your life in danger. There are stories from missionaries of men and women around the world who, once they've made that decision to follow Jesus, are baptized publicly, and then they have to leave their homes because it's out there now. They've made that declaration, and they're no longer safe because following Jesus isn't always convenient. Now, before we go any further, let me make clear what baptism is not. Baptism doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Baptism doesn't save you. Yes, amen to that. There is nothing holy about these waters. Baptism doesn't save you. Only Jesus saves you. Baptism is not your ticket to heaven. It's not a punch card to get right with God. Water can't wash away our sins. Only the blood of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 3, they're talking about the story of Noah that many of you are familiar with. And it says, those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat, only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective, here's the important part, it is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism doesn't save you. The blood of Jesus saves you. Max Lucado said this. He said, there are those who have taught that baptism is necessary for salvation, as if baptism adds to the finished work of Christ. Baptism is necessary for obedience. But that baptism doesn't add to what Christ does for us on the cross and doesn't add to what a person receives by faith. Baptism doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. So why should you be baptized? Why are we doing this here this morning? Because baptism is a command. We've been looking at this verse a lot the past few weeks. We've been talking about what it means to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So why be baptized? It's part of God's plan for us. It's a command. And like I said, baptism is one of those things that we can't, at least I can't fully understand. It doesn't make complete sense to me. But it's a command from our Lord and part of our being a sold out disciple, a follower of Jesus is obedience. Even when it doesn't make sense. That's part of living a life of faith. As we were discussing this topic, getting ready for this message, one of our elders said, they said, there's always a blessing in obedience. There's always a blessing in obedience. So are we willing to fully obey, even when something might not make complete sense to us? So why be baptized? Because baptism is a command. There's another reason, though. Baptism identifies us with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism identifies us with Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. If you look at Romans chapter 6, we're going to turn there for a minute. If you have your Bibles, feel free to do that. And Paul lays out for us how baptism helps us identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. From Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3, he says, or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined with him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. And Paul goes on to explain what this death, this burial, and this resurrection means to us as a disciple. He says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we also know that we might live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead and buried, I'll say, to the power of sin, and alive to Christ, to God, through Christ Jesus. Do you want to be alive to God through Christ Jesus? In order for us to have a new life, you first have to have a death. You can't have a resurrection without something dying. There can be no resurrection without something dying. So what has to die? Colossians 2 tells us, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of our sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. When you were baptized, when you come up from the water, you are identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Because you can't live for Jesus if you're living for yourself. You can't live for Jesus if you're still alive to yourself. Galatians 2:20, a verse many of us are familiar with, says, I've been crucified, I died with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. We're no longer a slave to sin. You're called a child of God. In Jay's words, you're beautiful. You're somebody. See, the act of baptism is a dramatic death to our old way of life. It's a way for our physical bodies to recognize the supernatural event that has taken place. Let me say that again. It's a way for our physical bodies to recognize the supernatural event that's taken place in our hearts. Kyle Eidemann, a teacher and pastor, told a story of they were doing a baptism service, and a man came to be baptized, and he asked him, he said, Kyle, I want to be held under for 2 to 3 minutes. Kyle was a little concerned about that. He wasn't comfortable with that, and he asked him, why? And the man assured him, he said, it's okay, I can do this. He could endure it. And the man went on to explain that he had lived a life full of sin against God and against others. And as he was buried in that water, he wanted his body, he wanted to feel what it felt like to really die to himself. He understood that you can't live for Jesus if you're living for yourself. Now, Kyle negotiated a compromise. He said, how about 10 seconds? And he says that even after 5 seconds, he had to pull him up because he couldn't take it anymore. So just for you being baptized today, know that that's not going to happen. Don't worry about that. But he wanted to know the cost. Going down into these waters reminds us of what our sin cost. That we have to, as Jesus did, die. And while the waters don't wash away our sins, following the command of God, when you're baptized, you're signifying that you're dying to your sin and embracing the life of a disciple of Jesus, fully alive to what he has for you, fully alive to God in Christ Jesus, no longer living for yourself, but living for him. So we're baptized because it's a command. We're baptized because it identifies us in a powerful way with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we're baptized because Jesus was baptized. Jesus did it. And as we are students or disciples of Jesus, the past week we've been talking about what it means to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus. And we've learned that when someone was selected to be a disciple of a rabbi, that they would do all they could to take on the characteristics and the practices of the rabbi. They would make their life look as much as they could like the teacher. And baptism, we're told, is part of being a disciple. Jesus was baptized. We read of the account of Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3. Matthew 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. What an amazing account.
It's like God was looking down on Jesus and saying, look at him. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. He's somebody. Jesus was baptized, not washing away his sins. Jesus was sinless. But as Matthew 3:15 tells us, to fulfill all righteousness. He was baptized to show us that even though sinless, he identified with our sins. And that through him, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he gave us an example of what it means to follow him in obedience. As his disciples, we should follow the example of Jesus. Now, maybe you're wrestling with the question, do I have to be baptized? And if that's where you are today, I want to challenge you to maybe look at this a little different. Not do you have to be baptized? No, you get to be baptized. You get to be baptized. I love the way that Dave Stone puts it. He said, if we don't submit to obedience in baptism, we've allowed Satan to make a barrier out of a benchmark. Don't ask the question, do you have to get baptized? It's, do you get to be baptized? Yes, you can get baptized. Don't make a barrier out of a benchmark. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, paying the debt that you once owed, that he defeated death, rose again, and is offering you the same gift of eternal life, then guess what? You're ready. You're ready to be baptized. It's time. You don't have to wait until your life is in order. Because guess what? You can't do that. You don't have to wait until you're all cleaned up, till that sin is gone in your life, because Jesus has that covered. You get to be baptized, and you don't have to wait. He says, come as you are. Come as you are. Come to the waters of baptism. Be buried and raise up with him. In Acts chapter 8, we read a story of Philip sharing the gospel with the Ethiopian. He says in Acts 8, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So if you're here this morning and you haven't taken this step of obedience, I'll ask you the same question that Ethiopian asked Philip. Look, here's water. What hinders me? What keeps me from being baptized? Jesus says, come as you are. Now, you might still have some questions. What does all this mean? We want to help you through that. We'll have pastors and elders. I'll be up here after our time together. If you, while we're watching people make this commitment, if you have more questions about that, please come up and ask. Maybe you need to make Jesus Christ, declare to him even right now that he is your Lord and Savior. You can do that. Come as you are. What hinders you? What's standing in the way of you being baptized this morning? Now, for those of us who have already made this commitment, who have already been baptized, this is a special time for us as well. We get to celebrate with brothers and sisters in Christ. But it also is a reminder for us, a reflection for our hearts. And I want to ask you, can you think back to when you made that commitment, when you decided to be sold out for Jesus? I remember my time at Lake Pleasant. What is it for you? Is God reminding you? Use this as an opportunity to be reminded of what Jesus has done for you, that you've identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when you step into this water this morning and you symbolically die to your sins and are raised up to life in Christ, I want you to know that our Heavenly Father, he's looking down on you. And it's as if he's saying, look at them. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. They're somebody. Not because of what we've done. Not because we walked up these steps and did something special. Because of what Jesus Christ has done within us. The power of Christ washing our sins away and giving us life with him. Amen? It's a wonderful thing for us to celebrate. So before we do this, we're going to have an opportunity to hear from some people that are making this decision this morning. We're going to hear from them in a video, and then Pastor Ben's going to walk us through what we're going to do next. But I want to encourage you, come as you are. Don't let this moment pass you by. Jesus is calling you. He wants you to understand that you are a child of God, that you are somebody. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this moment that we share in together. For those that are being baptized, Lord, that get to be baptized, may this be a benchmark in their walk with you. Lord, that as they come out of those waters, they're reminded of the sacrifice that you made for each and every one of us, that you made for them, because they're somebody, because they're beautiful. God, for us that have made that commitment, may we celebrate alongside our brothers and sisters. May we celebrate the life that they have in you. But Lord, may we also be reminded of what you have done for us. God, that we've decided to follow Jesus. Help us to recognize, Lord, that there is no turning back. God, we thank you for this moment that we have together to be reminded that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are children of God, that we're beautiful, that we're somebody. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the whole church together said, amen.